This morning's scripture lessons come from two passages of scripture. They're on the back of your bulletin. They're also on the screen. And I'd like to share them with you now at this time. First passage comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And then from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, these words from the Apostle Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who calls us by His own glory and goodness. And through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if any of you do not have them, and you are nearsighted and blind, and you have forgotten that you have been cleansed from your past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I grew up in the 60s, and I joined a fan club one time. I sent $2 in. I belonged to a fan club. Perhaps some of you remember this fan club or this TV show from which it came. Well, now you got to understand, I was 12 years old. This was during the age of James Bond was just coming on. There was a lot of spy and a lot of espionage movies and TV shows out there. I think The Saint was another show was out there. Get Smart was really big back then and whatnot. And I was so infatuated by The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I just had to be a part of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. fan club. So, I sent in my $2, and I was a lifetime member of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. fan club. I remember getting the kit in the mail, and I spread it out on my kitchen table. I think I had one of those triangular badges that they wear. I think I got a card, a laminated membership card, lifetime member, and then a poster and some other things. And that held my attention pretty good until The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. came out. We won't go there. But anyway, my point is that I've been a member of the Man from U.N.C.L.E. fan club for 45 years. Can you believe that? My $2. The problem is I have not heard from them lately. I haven't gotten a newsletter from them, haven't gotten anything to, encourage me on and whatnot. And I certainly haven't been very involved in the Man from U.N.C.L.E. fan club either. Of course, I'm also 55 years old, so that might have something to do with it. As I thought about that fan club, and I thought about our relationship with Jesus Christ and what it means to be a Christian, and it made me wonder in my mind, how many of us are members of the Jesus fan club, and how many of us are real Christians, real followers of Jesus Christ? Not just fans of Jesus, but committed, faithful, fruitful disciples of Jesus Christ. My sense is that there are more that belong to Jesus fan club in the world than committed, faithful disciples. How do we move from being a fan of Jesus to being a faithful follower, a real Christian, a real follower, disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, I believe the five-part series that we're doing right now, called The Five Practices of Fruitful Living, is the key. As you know, this is week three of our five-part sermon series on fruitful living, the five practices. 2 weeks ago, remember, we discussed what? What was the first practice? Anybody remember? Radical hospitality. That's right. Receiving and accepting God's love. Receiving God's grace as an act of hospitality to God. And then last week, we discussed what? Passionate worship, in which we reflect our love to God. We share our love towards God. We express our love and gratitude towards God. Today, I want us to look at something called, what Robert Snasey calls in his book, intentional faith development. Intentional faith development. That's another way of saying spiritual formation. And John Wesley would even go further and call it part of our sanctification. That growth in the grace and the knowledge of God. It's one thing to receive God's forgiveness. It's one thing to receive God's grace and love and know that we're forgiven. That's the beginning. That's the front porch of our relationship, if you will. But then we express that love to God through worship. And then we move forward in our relationship with God by growing, by learning, by being involved in Bible study and the study of Scripture and devotion and reflecting on God's Word and the study of Scripture. What we're talking about is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. The New Testament is full of stories of the apostles trying to move their people from babes in the faith to those that you know have to drink milk and pablum and all that stuff, and move them towards meat, the meatier things of Scripture, and move them on towards spiritual maturity. Peter, in his letter today that I just read for you, had to deal with some of those same things. There was some false teaching, some false doctrine being taught in the early church, and Peter had to combat that, but he does it in a very strategic way. He praises them, of course, for their faithfulness. He praises them for the good things that are happening, but he also gives them some practices in order to grow and to be more mature in their faith. And that's what Peter's message to us today is, I believe, by giving them the means by which they can grow in their faith and in their involvement with the local church. The overriding scripture verse that's been kind of guiding our whole five-week study is that scripture from John 15:5, which says, Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide," and that's a key word, "those who abide in me and I in them shall bear much fruit." Abide. What does it mean to abide in God? To abide in Jesus. If you look at the definition of the word abide, you get the word abode, you get words like dwelling and living and whatnot. We live in that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We live with God, so to say, through our constant hunger and thirst for the Word and studying God's Word and so forth. The problem is that people are not abiding. Many Christians are not abiding in God, but they're abiding in themselves. They're abiding in getting their own needs met. They're abiding in getting their own wants met. Rather than abiding in God, they're abiding in themselves and dwelling in themselves instead. And what is the result of this me-ism, this what's in it for me? Well, for one thing, we've now got a culture that seems to be divided between conservatives and liberals. Republicans and Democrats, black and non-white, non-whites and people of color. I've got that screwed up, didn't I? Yeah. People of color and white. Okay. We seem to have had all that division and racism and all of that. Sure. We're divided our country between north and south, east and west. Everything must be black and white. There's no middle ground. There's no gray anymore. This is a result of what I believe is the focus on abiding on in ourselves, in our own wants and our needs, rather than in God. Did you know that only 4% of professing Christians use faith as a guide in their everyday lives? Only 4% of Christians use their faith to guide them through their daily lives. 65% of Americans believe in the Bible, but only a third of them read it. Or if they read it, it's read very, very rarely. This is one of the problems that we have in the Christian church, is Bible illiteracy and not knowing what the Word of God says. And that is because we're not engaged in the Bible study and learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of God. We are not much different than that early church that was caught up into some false doctrine and false teaching. Yes, there were people there that were trying to trip up the early church and trying to destroy it. But there were also people in the church that were trying to fit the gospel to meet their own understanding of it, to tickle their ears, so to say, to fit their understanding of what it meant rather than what Jesus meant. Today's false doctrine, if you want to call it that, is that it's all about me. It's not all about us. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about God. But this should not be the case for followers, faithful, fruitful followers of Jesus Christ. Peter's got the answer here in this passage in that he undergirds the faithful, he encourages the faithful, but he also gives them some practices in which to do it. And that's why I feel that our five practices of fruitful living are so important, because when you boil it down, these are the five essential things that we need to be mature, faithful, fruitful Christians. Hospitality. Worship. Intentional faith development. Risky mission and service. And extravagant generosity. All five of these things will move us from that spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. A lot of people say, well, I don't have time for Bible study. I've got so many other commitments. And that's true. And God bless you, because I know many of you are involved in soccer and involved in sports and involved in lodge meetings and club meetings. And you like your favorite television shows and you like go to movies. And all those things are wonderful as long as they're kept in balance. How are we squeezing God into our lives? How are we spending more time with God in our lives? It's so important for us to be fruitful Christians, to be more committed to studying God's Word and to be people of prayer. We've said that over and over again. And I know that we're trying here at Bethel Church. We're trying to make small groups a very, very important part of our ministry here. The study that we've got coming up in the fall will hopefully move people closer to Jesus Christ as we think about our lives and think about what it means if we only had 30 days to live. And then once that study is over, we hope that those small groups will continue in homes and in here at the church, where people can grow and they can connect with Jesus Christ in a special way. And we're going to try to have something for everybody at many different times of the day and of the week. So the question today is, where are we in all of this? Are we going to be temporal, more important on the temporal, or are we going to focus on the eternal? The eternal is what's much more important. The temporal is just that, it's temporary. Of the world, it's temporary, but with Jesus, we're dealing with things of eternity, the eternal. And the way that we become more fruitful Christians more fruitful people, followers of Christ. One way is through intentional faith development, getting involved in a small group, studying God's Word together as community, and helping each other on our journey. That's the question we all need to answer. Do we want to be a member of Jesus' fan club, or do we want to be a faithful, fruitful follower of Jesus? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us always that we all need a closer walk with you. I know I do. And we pray, Father, that as we get connected with a small group this fall, as we find a place where we can grow, we will be taken deeper into that spiritual life that you've called us to. We know it's not going to be easy, Lord. We have so many commitments. We have so many things that we have to do and so many things that we're involved in. But Lord, if we keep you first, if we seek first the kingdom of God, we know that you will make a way where there seems to be no way. Help us now, God, to worship you as we gather around your table and as we celebrate this holy meal and your holy presence among us. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.